Have you ever prayed a prayer where you ask God to do something and later you thank Him profusely because He said no? Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for telling me no. But at the time, were you happy? No, you were upset because God said no. How dare He say no? When we have scriptures that says that what things soever we desire when we pray, believe that we receive them, and we will have them, and God says no. Wait a minute, you can't say no. I got this scripture right here that says you have to do it. God says, well, make me. Good luck with that. We're looking at God's answers to prayer, and today we are studying tip. Total, instant, permanent answers to prayer. Tip. Luke 8:43-48. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately. Do you like that? Don't you wish that all your prayers were like that? Immediately. Well, next week we're going to study looking at the issue of not quite so immediately. Ever had any of those? Any of you ever had any immediate ones? Yes. Sometimes you wonder, well, when do you get the immediate ones? Because most of mine seem to be delayed. But the thing is that sometimes there's going to be a need for spiritual warfare. How many of you know you have an enemy? It's not your husband. It's not your wife. How many of you know that Satan's your enemy? How many of you know? Okay, two of you. Good. Okay, how about the rest of you? How many of you know that Satan's your enemy and that he resists the answers to your prayers? Did you know that? We're going to look next week at the fact that sometimes spiritual warfare has to be actively involved in those issues of getting the answers to our prayers. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. Now, how many of you know that when God asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer? Oh, Adam, where are you? That wasn't because God didn't know. It's because Adam didn't know. Adam didn't know where he was. And Jesus was saying, where are you? And he said, I don't know. Hiding over here behind this fig tree where I got these fig leaves. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Wow, praise God. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. And she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. It is our desire to be in a position to be able to receive the answers to our prayers. There are things that happen in our lives that sometimes block off our answers from you. And we just pray that you would heal us from those things, that you would set us free, that you would help us to have those things that are necessary in our lives and to have those things removed that are necessary to not be there in order for you to answer our prayers. We want your answers in our lives. We want to have that victorious Christian life that you offer, that we might become so excited about the dynamics of our relationship with you that we cannot contain it, and we spread it all over our community because you are such a great God in our lives, and we want you in their lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. What has to happen to us sometimes is we have to reach a point of desperation. We have to get to that place to where that things just can't be solved by us. Things cannot be solved by those people that we go to try to get them solved by. There are various things that go on in our lives that are so far beyond human effort that we have to turn to God. We have no choice. But the temptation that we have in our lives frequently is that we will put it off and put it off as long as we can and try to get our help from some other source as much as possible. And then finally, when we get to a certain point of desperation, then someone will say, well, maybe we better pray. And we think, has it gotten that bad? What God wants from us is to automatically think of Him first. God wants us to not necessarily have to go to that point of desperation. He wants us to be at that place where that we are able to receive from Him more immediately, to where that we turn and think, God, You're my answer. On every little circumstance of my life, God, You're my answer. And as we do those things, as we turn in those directions, we begin to experience God's blessing and power. She came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of His cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Immediately, she got a powerful touch from the Savior of her life. That is the place where the relationship starts. This is the place where we start to put our trust in God. It's at that point where we reach out and decide, God, I'm going to touch You. I'm going to get in touch with what You have to offer. And this is the place where this woman's life changed. For the rest of her life and throughout eternity, her life changed drastically. The reality of the truths of God started to pour into her heart. What can God do? What is God capable of? How drastic will your life change at the point in time where you extend your hand and reach out and touch Him? And that is the question that we have to ask ourselves. There's that transition point between us looking everywhere else for the answers to our problems. That transition point where we go from that place to where that we have exhausted everything that we can try. Where it's all exhausted, everything is gone, and we're pretty much to the place of no hope. That we finally make our move toward God and we reach out and we touch Him. And the power and the presence of God starts to flow into our lives, into our bodies, into our finances, into our relationships, into our need. Do you know what happened to this woman besides the immediate bleeding stopping? A relationship got built between her and Jesus. When you've been going for 12 years, and your problems have continued to exist, and no matter where you turn, you couldn't get the answers, and all of a sudden you turn to God and He answers your prayers and He meets your needs, a relationship gets built between you and God. When all of a sudden God touches your life, an appreciation grows inside of your heart, where you're thankful for the fact that He worked a miracle in your life. And did you know that that's what God wants? One of the problems with tip, one of the problems with those things where we want total, instant, permanent results, is that the relationship sometimes is like the relationship we have with a Coke machine. We put our money in, and it spits out a Coke, and we walk off. Have you ever put your money in a coin-operated machine and it not give you your product? Have you ever been tempted to kick it? Sometimes when we make our prayers to God, when we lay out our lives before Him and He doesn't answer, have you ever been tempted to gripe, to complain, to be upset? You see, that's a mechanical relationship. God wants a relationship that's deep and meaningful. Consequently, it becomes very important for us at these moments in time. I have been standing with a group and we were praying for someone who was totally addicted to drugs. And I have seen God completely set them free. Instantly, totally, instantly, permanently set free. And walked away, healed. From that moment on, no desire whatsoever. Isn't that awesome? That's a spectacular thing. But it's like those 10 lepers. Jesus healed 10 lepers. And 9 of them just kept on going once they realized they were healed. And as the 10 of them looked down and saw, "I'm healed of leprosy," 9 of them were tremendously excited about it, but went on their way to get the pronunciation from the priest that they were cleansed. And only one person went back and said, "Thank you." And that's important to us, isn't it? It's important to a real relationship with God. At this point in time, the bleeding had stopped in her life. All of a sudden, her life changed, and she is no longer bleeding. She is no longer sick. From that point on, she is no longer going to live the life she's been living. She's no longer going to experience the desperation. From this point on, she's healed. She's changed. Everything is miraculous. From this point on, her life is going to be completely and totally different because she got a touch from God. And it becomes important for us to come to Him and say, "Thank you." And not just go on our way and say, "Whoa, that was good. I'm glad that happened," and go on about our lives. But instead, to come back to Him and say, "Thank you. Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in against you." "What do you mean, who touched you? All kinds of people are touching you." But here's the thing. You look at a crowd of people who are all pressing in around Jesus, and none of them are getting power in their lives. They're all touching Him. They're all rubbing elbows with Him. They're all right there pressing in. And yet, nothing's happening to them. Do you understand what we're saying here? There's something that has to happen in our lives that brings us to a place to where that the power of God flows into us, to where that the touch brings the mighty move of God. Jesus said, "Someone touched me." Lots of people touched Him, but someone touched Him differently. Who touched me? Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. And that is the moment when our lives change in our relationship with Christ. It's at that point where we touch Jesus and power flows from Him to us. This is the place where all of Christianity starts to take on a whole brand new meaning. This is when the reality of Christianity comes to us, where all of a sudden it transitions from a theory, a thought, a ritual, a religion. This is the place where all of a sudden Christianity stands out apart from everything else. It's at that place where God transforms your life. And this is the thing that we have to all understand, that this becomes the vital aspect of Christian life, is that in Romans 1:17, "For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness is from by faith, from first to last. As it is written, the just, the righteous will live by faith." You've got those sockets in your house, those little places where you plug in the refrigerator and the vacuum cleaner and all those things. Did you know you should not stick a paper clip in that? You want to try it and see? Did you know that you can stick a toothpick in there that's not wet if you haven't spit on it? Did you know you can stick plastic things in there? But if you stick a paper clip in there, it's going to be a whole new experience. You will not have to go to the hairdresser. You will have a brand new style hair. Why? Because a paper clip will conduct electricity. And faith will conduct the power of God. Amen. Faith brings those things into our life is through faith, so that you've got all those people touching Jesus, all those people rubbing elbows with him, all those people pressing in. And then you've got this one woman who presses in faith, and she touches not Jesus, but she just touches the hem of his garment, and power flows from Jesus to her because she has faith. Do you think faith is important?
Yes.
You think that faith is something that we ought to live by?
Yes.
Then we need to head ourselves in the direction of faith, don't we?
Yes.
How many of you have needs? How many of you believe in the power of God? How many would like to have God's power meet your needs? How?
Faith.
Faith ties it all together. Faith makes Christianity work. Faith is that element that conducts the power of God and his presence into our lives. It becomes vital to us to have that element working in us, to where that we have working through our relationship with God, a faith relationship. But the thing that we have to understand about faith is that faith is the acceptance of the honesty of God. Faith is the acceptance of God's integrity. Faith is to admit that God speaks the truth. That when God says it, that settles it. Amen?
Amen?
Faith quite simply puts one's trust, their reliance, their dependency upon God, to where that they lean on him, put their trust in him, and allow him to speak to their heart's truth that sets them free. Because he is the God of truth, and we accept him as the God of truth, and we believe that what he says, that what he promises, that what he has done, we believe it is true. And when we don't have faith, it's impossible to please him, which is what we studied before now. If we don't have faith, it's impossible to please him, because it is a challenge to his integrity. It is to say, I don't believe that what you're saying is true. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Now, what we like to do is we like to send out our prayer request to the people on the internet. We'd like to just send it out to 700 people, and surely somebody out of all those 700 people, somebody there has faith. And someone will pray the prayer of faith, and then we'll get our needs met. And so we just sort of like want to gang up on God and see if we can't find someone somewhere who will pray a prayer of faith and we'll get healed. But you don't understand, when we get ourselves involved in that kind of thinking, we're missing this point. Jesus said to the woman, your faith has healed you. What's holding up those things in our lives? What's holding them up? Our faith. It's not someone else's faith. Well, we're just going to church and they don't have any faith there, so I'm not getting healed. I've gone up there lots of times and they prayed for me and I didn't get healed. I'm going to a place where they've got more faith. I'm going to go to a crusade somewhere where there's some faith. Your faith has healed you. It's our relationship with God. It's our attitudes. It's our feelings. It's our thought life. It's those things that we believe in that makes the difference. And God is calling us to start to put our faith in him. And when we do, no matter where you're sitting in this building, and no matter whether anybody else gets touched or not, you will receive the power of God in your life. It's an individual relationship with God. Have you ever heard someone say you need to accept Jesus as your personal Savior? Because it's a personal relationship. A lot of people used to think, and Billy Graham started it, this concept of the personal experience and the personal relationship, you have to accept him as your personal Savior. Started because people thought that because grandma was a Christian, they were a Christian. They thought that because mom and dad raised them in a Christian home, that they were automatically Christians. They thought that because they were born in America, which was a Christian nation, then they were Christians. And it was a message to the whole of America saying, you must accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And now we're saying we must have faith in order to experience a personal relationship, even as Christians, that the righteous, the just, shall live by faith. And your faith is the faith that is setting you free. All kinds of words are coming to you. You're hearing all kinds of things. People are talking and people are expressing their opinions, and all sorts of experts are writing books, and all sorts of magazines are telling you how to live your life and what to expect. And the Bible says that it is your answer to faith. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Now, that word right there is not logos, L-O-G-O-S. It is rhema, R-H-E-M-A. Of course, it's written in Greek letters instead of English, but anyway, the transliteration of it is R-H-E-M-A, rhema. The difference between those two Greek words is that one is a written word and the other is a spoken word. What the issue is here is that we cannot go to Mark 11:24, and until we have some sort of permission from Christ to believe a particular thing for ourselves, we cannot, as Peter did, get out of the boat and walk on the water. When Jesus said to Peter, come, if John got out of the boat, he was going to sink immediately. Why? Rhema. God is speaking to you right here, right now. God is talking to you about the things that he wants to do in your life. God is dealing with your heart, and he's trying to build up your faith. And you need to read the Word of God, Logos. You need to read the Word of God that is written for you and for all of us on the same, that is accepted by every person and never changes. Not one jot, not one tittle, not one crossing of a T, not one dotting of an I is going to pass away until all is fulfilled. But rhema is that special thing where Jesus says to this person, says, stretch out your hand. And when he does, it's healed. When Jesus says, take up your bed and walk. And he does. That is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is that place and time in which you and Jesus are communicating back and forth. And he is talking to you personally. And he's dealing with those things of the needs of your life. And all of a sudden, he speaks into your heart something. And that's what happened to this woman. This woman all of a sudden heard from God that if she would touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. And she knew what was going to happen to her, because rhema had been spoken into her life. The difference between that and us taking scriptures and standing on them and claiming them and demanding God to do them, the difference between those is the general logos of God's word. You cannot take Mark 11:24 and make Jesus do anything. You cannot flaunt it in his face and say, you promised this and you're going to do this in my life. That will not happen, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And that's where a lot of people have lost their faith. That's where you and I, very frequently, we will read these passages of scripture and we will hear these sermons, and people will deal with our lives about the healing power of God, and they will give us scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture that seems to be guaranteeing that we are going to be healed. And then we come to God and we pray and we seek God and nothing happens, and then we say, I guess I don't have enough faith. I guess God doesn't heal. I guess it's not for us today. And we walk away, or we don't even really say anything. We just stop praying. And very often, those people who have always believed that God heals, very often those people stop believing that God heals because someplace at some time they prayed and they trusted and they relied on and they stood on and they claimed God's word and nothing happened. And no one explained to them that this is not a Coke machine relationship. No one explained to them that faith comes by the message of the Rhema of Christ. And when you understand that it comes through the Rhema of Christ, that Mark 11, 24 is saying, here's what's available to you, and if you will just build an intimate relationship with me, I will speak to your heart and you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm asking you to get out of your bed and walk. And when he speaks to your heart, you will experience the power of God transforming those areas of your need. But without an intimate relationship with God, there will be no faith. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Rhema of Christ. If there is no relationship, then what things soever you desire when you pray, believe. There's the flaw right there. And it's not conjuring up faith. It isn't saying that faith is something where people just make up their minds to believe. It isn't saying that it is done by those people who decide that they're going to trust God. It isn't saying that they determined that they were going to make that leap of faith. It doesn't say any of those things. It's saying that it comes from the Rhema of Christ. It comes from Christ speaking faith into your heart for each individual circumstance of your life. And because that relationship with Christ is damaged, because our relationship with Christ is one mechanical, because of the fact we're not really developing this close and intimate relationship with him, there is no communication. We can't hear his voice. It's clouded over with worldly cares. It's clouded over with all of the distractions of this world. It's clouded over by all of our fleshly desires. And because we're not spending our real time, quality time, a personal relationship with Jesus, he can't say to us, take up your bed and walk. He can't say to you, I'm going to heal you. He can't say to you, I'm going to transform your finances. He can't talk to you. He can't speak into your heart. He can't speak that rhema into your life. And so we become one of the crowd. John 16, 13, 14 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. This is what has happened to the person who has received the Holy Spirit into their heart and life. The Holy Spirit is starting to work in your heart. He's starting to reveal himself to you. He's speaking to you spirit to spirit. And as the Holy Spirit starts to speak to you, he starts to bring you into a realization of all that God wants to do for you. The Holy Spirit has come into your heart. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you spirit to spirit. The Holy Spirit is taking the things of Christ and he's showing them to you. The Holy Spirit is taking those things that Jesus wants to say to you, and he's starting to reveal them to you. And you're hearing his voice. You're starting to experience that personal relationship. You're starting to move into the realm of God's power. And as God starts to speak to you and say, I want to transform your life. I want to bring spectacular things. I want to move in a mighty way for you. When he starts to say those things, you become excited and you begin to feel something that you didn't feel before. And all of a sudden, God becomes truth and everything else becomes a lie. And the word of God starts to raise up your heart to where that you feel something you have not felt before. The emotions that are deep into your being. Those things that have been walled off, those things that have been barriered from you and God, all of those things start to break open. And you begin to realize that God is wanting to do great things in and through your life. And as he does, you become excited. As he begins to work these miracles, you begin to testify and tell other people. You begin to express these things to those around you. And as you express those things to the people around you, other people get excited about the potential of those things that God can do for them, that Jesus Christ is their answer. God wants to move mightily in this church. God wants to do mighty things in our lives. If this church explodes in the greatness of God, you know what's going to happen to our community. If this church starts to experience the power of God like never before, you know what's going to happen to our attitudes. You know what's going to happen to our relationships with the people around us. Faith becomes that element of our lives that has to break loose, where that you and I break free from the doubts and the fears that are resident in the United States of America. We have to break free from secular humanism. We have to break free from putting our dependency upon our own selves. We have to break free from the psychology of this world, to where that we have self-confidence, we have self-dependence, we have self-love, we have self-everything, to where that we think we're the answer to all of our needs, to where we break free from those things and our dependency goes on God. Our trust, our reliance, it goes into Him. Our faith reaches in and touches the hem of Jesus' garment, and the power of Christ flows into our lives. And all of a sudden, we are walking miracles. All of a sudden, our church is shaken to the core with the great things of God, where that the miraculous is taking place as normalcy. I have no doubt that if God starts really answering your prayers like He wants to, that a massive revival will take place in this community. I have no doubt. And you and I are just waiting on the Holy Spirit to speak to us. You and I are just tuning in. We're just starting to turn the knob and dial in to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And He's not going to speak about Himself. He's going to take the things of Christ. He's going to take the rhema of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is not going to speak of Himself. He's going to take the things of Christ and show them to you.